Welcome to season 12 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I am so happy to be back and to be joined as ever by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
We're kicking off a new season of the podcast, and we are excited to stick with the theme Inspired to Learn. We're still learning, we're still feeling inspired. And so this season, we'll be continuing conversations of sharing things that are inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. And to kick it off, we're going to have Catherine share, and I can't wait to hear about what has been inspiring her.
Hooray! It is so good to be back in our podcast studio or Zoom room and beginning another season of learning, sharing, and reflecting. Just like last season, we're going to use a reflective protocol to guide our conversations. And for each episode's inspired topic, we're going to consider what, so what, and now what as we share. For our episode's conversations, the person sharing will tell us what it is that it's inspiring them to learn. And then in 60 seconds or less,
my favorite part,
they'll share so what it is about the topic that is important and inspiring them. Finally, we'll wrap up the conversation with now what to think through some next steps of how they plan to use what they've shared.
I am such a fan of this protocol and structure. And yes, we all know that I love and struggle with the constraint of that 60-second timer, but I have also really grown to love the now what question, mostly because this one is often the hardest to answer. And I know you're going to ask me a follow-up the next week to see how I did for the next episode. So sometimes it's tough, but I really think it's helped me focus and put a lot of the swirling ideas that I have into some concrete action steps. And so I'm glad we're using this protocol again to keep me on my toes and also keep me accountable for those next steps of my learning process.
I agree, Laura. And I also really do enjoy the 60-second summary because it is helping me be concise and really see if I can streamline everything about this topic into very short sentences. So I love that part of the protocol too. I have to also shout out our bonus episode where we shared our reflections and the now what steps in action over the summer.
Hooray.
Yes, I am proud of how we integrated the information about what inspired us to learn during the past two seasons.
Me too.
Another thing I like about our podcast structure is having the opportunity for each of us to share some learning in the form of a quick win. So continuing the practice from last season, before I dive in to share what's inspiring me, I'd love to hear from you. So Laura, tell us about a quick win that's inspiring you this week.
Sure. This week, my quick win is not necessarily a new tool. However, it's one that I have rediscovered and I'm really loving right now. And that's Loom. Mm-hmm. So Loom is a screencasting tool that has a number of features that I'm a huge fan of, including great and easy to edit captions. But the quick win that I want to share is enabling a setting to create an animated thumbnail of the videos you create. So what this does is that it allows you to embed your video with an animated GIF, like a smile or a wave. So instead of having a static image as your video preview thumbnail, it's this small tweak, but it's one that I really love. And so I've used it recently a few times, particularly in an asynchronous content or as part of a website that I've created that doesn't necessarily have a synchronous component for others to interact with me. And I feel like it makes first, the video more likely to be viewed, but second, more inviting and personable. And so since I'm thinking about the concept of belonging as one of my ways of being, shout out and call back to the bonus episode from a few weeks ago, I think that this just small tweak in settings really functions as a quick win for a tool that I know many people already use and love.
Okay. So Laura, you told me about this feature and do you have to do a little extra wave within the video recording, or does it capture something as you're like moving your hands around?
Yeah, this is a great question. So you are supposed to do a little wave at the beginning of your video before you start recording or a smile or whatever, and then it captures it. I didn't realize that, but luckily I just move around a lot when I'm speaking and I'm actively using my hands right now. So luckily it just kind of synced up with my personality, but intentionally making that movement at the beginning of recording, that's what it will grab to be that looping image.
Ah, okay. I missed that piece of the instructions as well on Loom. So, okay, fabulous share. And you're right. I think it does really just make the video a little more inviting when you see that smile. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of invite you to click that link and, mm-hmm. okay, let me watch this. Here's a friendly person. Let's see what she has to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Catherine, it is time. I have got to know what's inspiring you this week. Are you ready to share?
I'm so excited.
Okay, let's do it. So sticking to our what, so what, now what conversation guide, let's start with the what. What is it that's inspiring you to learn this week?
This week, I'm sharing Gretchen Rubin's 4 Tendencies Framework. This idea is not a new find, but it's something I included in one of my online courses this summer, and I had great feedback from participants who learned about it. And Gretchen just celebrated her 5th anniversary of her 4 Tendencies book and had a big podcast episode about it. So I thought it would be a great discussion for us too.
I'm in. I know just a little bit about this, so I'm excited to have this opportunity to go deeper and learn more. So let's pull up that timer. So in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about the 4 tendencies.
While researching her book about habits, Gretchen Rubin discovered patterns that explain how you respond to rules and requests. And that led to the development of her framework called the 4 Tendencies. Gretchen shares that people react to inner expectations and outer expectations in different ways. An outer expectation could be a traffic sign, a request from a sweetheart, or a work deadline, and so on. And an inner expectation might be a New Year's resolution, a decision to exercise more, or putting in work on a self project. So there are 4 categories in her framework. The first is if you're an upholder, you respond readily to outer and inner expectations. Obligers meet outer expectations but struggle to keep inner expectations. Questioners meet expectations only if they think they make sense. Rebels disregard the rules from outside or inside. And then we'll dig into the details of this framework today. Look at that timing.
Wow. Impressive. 60 seconds on the dot. Also, so much shared in 60 seconds. I want to know more specifically about these individual tendencies. So let's go deeper. Tell us more to answer so what about Gretchen Rubin's work and the 4 tendencies is inspiring you to learn.
I've been a fan of Gretchen Rubin's work for a long time. Her book, The Happiness Project, was one of my very first book club books, and I read that in 2010. So I followed her model for goals and designing my year ever since. And then I really started subscribing to podcasts in 2015, and that's when she started her podcast, Happier, and I've heard every one of her episodes.
Wow.
I've seen her twice in real life at book signings. I have her 4 Tendency book signed, holding it up right now.
Cool.
We use this book as a team book study. I shared the 4 tendencies at our staff learning day in 2016. So all this to say, I'm a huge fan and I really believe in her work. And so what I've noticed recently and why this is, I think, really important for us to share is I think there has been in the last few years, a lot of discussions around habits and productivity. Mm-hmm. And I've heard many people declare things like do this XYZ thing to change your habits. And knowing Gretchen's work, I think, no, that's really not right. And that would not work for me. And Gretchen repeatedly says there is not one way to make or break a habit. And so I think more people need to be aware of her framework before they start making these declarative statements like, do this. And so, Laura, you recently shared something about routines and habits, and it wasn't from a productivity guru. And so I said, wait, that reminds me of Gretchen's work. And that led to today's discussion. So
perfect. I love that you have this long history. I didn't realize that you were at the beginning of the podcast when she started it and one of your first book club books. So that is fantastic. And so we've got to know. I think I can guess. And actually, I think I've heard you introduce yourself with your tendency before I even knew what this was. But talk to us about what your tendency is and what does that mean for you and your habits?
Okay. Well, if you have seen my coffee cup, it's obliger. I have a big, I have a big mug.
She's holding it up right now.
So I am an obliger, which means I readily meet outer expectations, but it's hard to meet my own inner expectations. So I will with certainty meet all work deadlines or friend requests, but for my own goals and deadlines, I need some type of accountability. One problem, and this is also going to go back to one of our recent episodes, one problem that I've encountered with this tendency is what Gretchen calls obliger rebellion.
Okay.
And which I constantly meet outer expectations and then shut down. And so I think that this tendency can lead to burnout. So it's really good to know that I need to keep boundaries and that I am often just saying yes to too many things and not taking care of myself.
Good awareness. Good awareness.
I am so happy that I found a fellow obliger at work and we have frequent check-ins and we keep up with our goals for the year by knowing we're going to hold each other accountable. And so for obligers, having some kind of accountability partner is key to those inside expectations.
I love that.
So a little bit more, I kind of tip towards the upholder, which they readily meet outer and inner expectations. So I don't have to have a huge nudge to hold me accountable for a lot of things. I'm a huge fan of the idea of don't break the chain or a nudge from an app, like don't forget to meditate today. I think some obligers have to have more accountability, like an outside trainer. You are going to pay someone to go work out, but I can be held accountable by just a check mark on a piece of paper. So, so I think that's a difference between the obligers. There's a range of these. So what I've heard recently though, is like a productivity guru saying, just add exercise to your weekly calendar and complete your workout when you finish up your day at work. That is not helpful for me. That, you know, just getting an accountability partner is not helpful for other tendencies. I think that understanding all this information about habits, it really needs to go back to Gretchen's work. So Gretchen has a free quiz that you can take online at quiz.gretchenrubin.com. And 3 million people have taken this quiz. And so Laura, did you have a chance to determine your tendency and are you willing to share?
I did and I am. And I love that maybe you are predicting my tendency because you sent me an email to remind me to take it, but had very careful language where you're like, because this is happening, maybe it would be helpful if you did this, if it makes sense to you and if you have time. And so, yes, I did take it. This is the second time that I have taken this quiz, but I tried to keep really an open mind. So I wasn't maybe answering in the way that I thought I should answer. And so my tendency is that of a rebel, which is not really very surprising to anyone who knows me. So yes, that's what I got.
I am not surprised. And mm-hmm. Gretchen has mottos for each tendency. And for the rebel motto, it is, you can't make me and neither can I.
I know. I don't like this motto. And I will lead into it as a rebel. Like, I don't accept this as my motto either. But yes. Okay. So I know that it's, you can't make me and neither can I, but I think that's kind of harsh because if I want to do it, I absolutely will. And I will mm-hmm. do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. But it will not be, this is true, because you told me to, or because a notification on an app told me mm-hmm. to, or even because I paid someone to be my accountability mm-hmm. person. No.
Well, and so that's exactly what I'm thinking of as rebels when I hear these habit gurus saying, you just need to do this. And I'm like, no, that would not work for my friend Laura, just mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of, again, these declarative statements, like there's one way to make or break a habit. And Gretchen says the exact opposite, not one way to make or break a habit.
Yeah, I love this framework. And, you know, it's always fun to learn more about yourself when you find out tendencies that you exhibit and read through this list and go like, oh, yes, this actually sounds like me. And so it's always fun just to have that maybe satisfaction of feeling seen. But I also think it's helpful, and I'm sure this is where our conversation will go, and thinking about just how we exist and how we are on a team, how to work with other people and how other people can best work with us. I have Gretchen's cheat sheet of her one pager for the four tendencies. And it really is the first bullet that spoke to me of characteristics for rebels. It says they put a high value on freedom, choice, self-expression, and authenticity. And I read that and I was like, yes, these are my words. And so it says they can do anything they want to do, but will resist if someone tells them what to do. And so that feels like me.
That reminds me, on the podcast episode, Gretchen talked about a parent dealing with the child rebel, and the child had made their bed and the parent was yelling down the hall, hey, don't forget to make your bed. And then the child rebel just unmade the bed completely. So
that's relatable. I think maybe I've curtailed some of that to be a productive and functioning adult most of the time, but that speaks to me as well.
Well, another example that I love from Gretchen's work is she talks a lot about medical professionals or people mm-hmm. who are helping others, thinking about your language and how the tendencies impact that. If you are an upholder, you readily respond to inner and outer expectations. So if a doctor says you need to take the medicine, they'll say, okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. If you are a questioner, the motto is, I'll comply if you convince me why. And so mm-hmm. a doctor's request might say, because blah, 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 here's the research, here's all of the backing, why this is going to work, how this will improve your health. But then for a rebel, Gretchen says that you have to appeal to the person's identity. And then a formula she uses is provide information, consequences, and choice. Thinking about health again, like you are a strong, healthy person and you want to live a long time and travel until you're in your 90s. And so mm-hmm. that means, you know, if you don't take your medicine and finish your treatments, you're going to continue to have shortness of breath. That's going to lead to complications. So what are you going to do? And finish up the treatment and you can take a vacation. So thinking about the language for medical professions. But when I first heard of this, I was really thinking about my classroom, how I gave instructions in the classroom. And Gretchen has had so many people take the quiz that she's now been able to look at all of this aggregated data. And she's found that the largest percentage are obligers and questioners. So if you address those two tendencies in your instructions or in your classroom, then you're probably going to at least hit most of the people. Upholders, you don't have to worry about because they're already going to do that. And so your language may be a little off-putting for rebels, but that's the smallest tendency out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just thinking about the obligers, they just need that accountability. So what's the due date? I'm going to be checking in with you. And then for the questioners, just remembering to say, because blah, 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 and explain the why behind it.
Mm-hmm. And for the rebels, maybe don't remind us when a due date is encroaching, because we already know that it is, and we will get it done before the due date. Just throwing that into the universe.
Just in case anyone needs to hear that, right?
Just throwing it out there. I love that thinking for addressing your classroom. You said enough people have taken this, that she has a lot of data. I think you said like 3 million people have taken it. This is a lot of data points. And I'm thinking about just dissemination of information or sharing, you know, expectations for the year. It's September. We're still kind of in that new school year that's happening. And there's lots of, I know, team meetings happening and PLC meetings. I'm just thinking about, particularly as adults, when we're really pretty, maybe leaning into those tendencies and exhibiting those traits, how helpful it would be to be aware of the other tendencies to ensure everyone feels that their needs are being met and we can all work together toward, you know, the goal at hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked in our team about adding our Enneagram number and our tendency to our badges. So understanding yourself better and then understanding your teammates. And so how you can communicate that information or expectations in ways that best suit everyone's needs.
I love that. Let's add the Harry Potter houses while we're at it.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes.
Shout out Slytherin. Okay. So I know that there is a motto for each of the tendencies, and we shared the Rebels motto, "You can't make me and neither can I." Can you share the other mottos just to help solidify what each of these tendencies kind of looks and sounds like?
Mm-hmm. So for the upholders, the motto is "Discipline is my freedom." Mm. Gretchen talks about the upholders are going to get things done. They handle inner and outer expectations. But one of the drawbacks of upholders is that they are very rigid and so not very flexible. They want things done their way. They may not delegate because they think they're the only ones who will get things done. So being disciplined, though, is a gift and a burden, maybe. For obligers, the motto is, "You can count on me, and I'm counting on you to count on me." So need an accountability partner. And then questioners is, "I'll comply if you convince me why." Gretchen talks about one of the drawbacks for questioners may be a tendency of analysis paralysis. So they may research too much and need to just make a decision because they're trying to convince themselves. Gretchen has interviewed a lot of journalists and many identify as a questioner. I thought that sounded right. And then your motto, "You can't make me and neither can I."
Alas, it's true and relatable.
One last thing. The reason I brought the four tendencies up in my summer online session was that the course was entirely self-directed.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear more about this and how this connects.
I just gave, here's the start date. Everything has to be turned in by a certain time. And I was not having them turn in pieces. And so I started thinking about the tendencies. And I figured that the obligers in the group would need some type of periodic nudge to remind them to finish up some work. And so that was really motivating for me to send those weekly emails or like every 4 days, like, "Have you started?" or "Look at this," or maybe "Be on this part." So thinking about holding those obligers accountable was good motivation. And then to address the questioners in the group, I tried to add everything like, "Because blah, blah, blah." For instance, you may want to try this tool, TextQuest, because you have free access to research-based articles, and this could be really helpful with your project. So upholders, I really don't worry about. And then I was trying not to be off-putting to the rebels. And so, you know, if you don't need this email, delete with delight, turn in your stuff by the whatever. So
love it.
The quiz was part of one of the first assignments saying this is self-directed. So if you are interested, take this quiz to see if that could help you with your work in a self-directed course. And then, like I said, I had a lot of people just give feedback. Oh, I love this. I've never heard of this. So they enjoyed that part.
Oh, yeah, that is such a great idea. I love this so much because I think it puts the awareness and accountability on each of us as the type of tendency we exhibit. And I think we've all encountered learning experiences, an online session or another session that just like didn't work out for me, or I didn't finish this book study. And I think having that awareness of, oh, maybe this is what was happening, and maybe I was accidentally shouting, you can't make me and neither can I, without realizing it. And so that's so smart to give your learners that awareness, but also just such another, as usual, thoughtful and intentional layer as you're thinking about truly designing for a variety of individuals. I love this, Catherine.
Yay. Well, thanks. It seemed to be positive. And again, it was just my motivation too. Like, okay, I do need to send those. I think they're important. As an obliger myself, I knew that would be important for me to have that little nudge. So
yeah. Well, and I think it aligns with, you know, this circling question that we have about giving learners that voice and that choice and that autonomy to learn in the way that works the best for them. So great synthesis, Catherine.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
Yes. So Gretchen's book, Better Than Before, subtitles What I Learned About Making and Breaking Habits, is my favorite read about habit formation. And I use the principles in this book all the time. But her four tendencies framework came from that research for this book. But people kept asking more and more about the tendencies. And so that's what led to a separate book just on the tendencies and her quiz and all of those pieces with the tendencies. So that is a tiny part of the book. But in Better Than Before, she shares a lot of different ways to know yourself better in order to make or break habits. So for instance, she asks, are you an owl or a lark? Are you a night person or a morning person? So if you're a lark, that's me.
If you're not me,
you're an owl. Then telling myself I will work out or clean or read or whatever at 8 p.m. at night, that's never going to work for me. But knowing that I'm a morning person, you know, 6 a.m., I could be on that. So those little pairings or the little comparisons are fabulous. Yeah. But I loved this classification of abstainers or moderators. So I'm definitely an abstainer. And Gretchen says an abstainer does better when we follow all or nothing habits, which means if I open a bag of candy, I'm going to finish it. And so it's better for me to have none of something than be tempted by a little bit. I had a friend who broke a cookie in half and then put the rest of the cookie back in the box. And I just could not believe that. I was stunned. I'm like, how can you leave half a cookie? And he was just like, of course I'm going to leave half a cookie. And I said, I need you to hide that box of cookies. So he was definitely a moderator. And that means that you do better when you indulge moderately, you have access to things. So her little comparisons, underbuyer, overbuyer, familiarity lover or novelty lover, finisher or opener, she goes through the book and has all these different things. And once you choose those out of the pairing, then it can really help you as you're trying to make or break habits. I love all of these characteristics. I've thought about and reflected on mine a lot. I can do pretty well now with my habit formation. Thanks to this book.
Well, as always, now I'm just taking notes over here of more books that I need to put in my cart, because now I need to figure out definitively, am I an abstainer or a moderator? So thank you for always loading up my book cart. hard.
I think the ideas in the book will really make you think critically when you hear other people talking about habits and the way to change habits. I'm like, nope, Gretchen would say no. So
good for you, not for me. Right. That's a phrase that I like as well.
Right.
Excellent. Yeah. So do you find yourself, I'm sure that this is against the rules, but do you find yourself classifying people on your own, like without them having taken the quiz, people that you work closely with? I imagine you predicted I was a rebel. I'm not sure, but I don't know if you are classifying people.
I did. And it's so funny because our friend Juliana and I just heard a comment from a colleague who said, oh yeah, I'm one of the persons who does not understand or care about those personality tests. And we both are like, questioner. And then Gretchen on her podcast, she will identify TV characters, or as she's reading memoirs, she often says, I think this person is an obliger because of this quote in the book.
So oh, that's fun.
She's always on the lookout. She identifies signs hanging up in the office break room. She's like, oh, an obliger wrote this. Or
I love this. I love this. Oh, yeah. I got to check out this list and see who has a similar tendency to me. See what I think about that.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, anything else on this note before we start to wrap up?
No, I just think that Gretchen's work is the definitive work on habit formation, and she has a great new hub for the four tendencies. There is a PDF even about four tendencies at work. So if you're interested in figuring out your colleagues, but I just love her idea of knowing yourself better to form habits and then working better with others if you understand how people behave and respond to expectations.
I love it. And what a great start to this season. So thank you for bringing the four tendencies to us. Thank you for making us even more mindful and aware of who we are and how we are and maybe why we are. But I love just learning more about myself and also the people that I work with and just making those habits better and better formed. So good share. And again, a great way to kick off the season.
Yay. Thanks.
So let us truly wrap this up. And as we consider launching some further thinking, as we challenge each other to apply what we share, to consider now what? So it sounds like you already have a lot of this work in play, but now what? What are some next steps from here? Or how might you continue to incorporate ideas from the four tendencies into your work or even further your learning?
I'm really thinking about the follow-up emails that I always send after my sessions. And that is a consequence of what I thought about for that online course this summer. So now that we're doing more asynchronous work, maybe with more online classes, I will include the four tendencies as just an optional thing. And since questioners and obligers are the largest groups, I really want to be more intentional about the wording in my emails. So thinking about email nudges for obligers, remembering to add the why for the questioners, any kinds of calls to action. I would just really want to be mindful of how I address that information. And then I think in my next iteration of that online course, I really want to make a bigger deal about the tendencies. I had just a, if you are interested, but now I think I want to make that more of a part of the course. And then I'm going to look for ways to bring it up in other sessions. So nothing else concrete, but it's in the front of my mind. And I think that just some tweaks to the emails will be the first start.
Sure, sure. Sounds like a great plan. And I am curious to be kept in the loop to see what other ways you think about incorporating it. So awesome.
Well, as my rebel friend, then you can tell me, you know, give me feedback on my emails. Like, oh no, this is too stringent for a rebel.
Fantastic. But truly, while you were thinking, I was thinking about, as someone who does have the rebel tendency, thinking about, you know, I don't necessarily need those email reminders. And frankly, they make me feel annoyed. But remembering that not everyone is a rebel, and some people enjoy and appreciate those. So that's kind of helpful for me to think like, oh, yeah, I should think through the wording of my emails as well, and make sure that I am hitting tendencies tendencies other than my own. So I like it.
Well, and then the rebel is the very smallest percentage. So yeah, not a lot of rebels around, Laura.
Well, alas.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a minute to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about the four tendencies? You may also find us on Twitter at @DigLearnRadio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, so what, and now what of your thinking and share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond. We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the new pillars of modern teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.